My God, you're wonderful.
Yes.
You're holy and you're mighty. You're the way, the truth, and the life. There's none like you. We stand in your presence in awe, Lord, this morning. In awe. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. You're wonderful. Hallelujah. We seek you today, God. We seek you, Lord. We hunger and thirst after you. We need you. Father, today, as we stand in your presence, and we know you're here, we stand as people that don't need to tell you what to do. We are seeking you for healing, for clarity of mind, for division of soul and spirit, flesh and spirit. We want to know what you know about the ways of the world and the enemy. We want to see what you see, both for now and in the future. We want to hear what you hear. Start here. What you hear from us, correct us so that we become that sweet sound in your ear. Instead of the complaining child, we become that sweet adult that you need. That one that's a friend to a friend. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. You're holy. You're right. And you're righteous. Thank you, Lord, for hating the sin and the lies in my life so much that you attack and you divide and you remove by the Spirit, by the Word, by preaching, by praying, by understanding, by revelation, all from you. Father, by the Spirit, we give you free rein to do as you will this morning with those that are willing. Those that are not willing, those that are rigid and hard-hearted, expose that to them. We do call down fire on those hearts that aren't burning already, burning for you. Teach us this morning by your Spirit to turn from that inward selfish way unto your way. Hallelujah. So there are hard hearts that are broken. We become tender to the needs of you and others. Minister to us to answer these cries for help as we've spoken them today. And we receive in advance with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Y'all may be seated. Hallelujah. I was just reminded of the scripture that said he was touched by every feeling of our infirmity. The scripture did not say he was moved by our feelings. He was touched. Anybody ever raise children? Anybody ever have a child throw a temper tantrum? Did anybody ever lay hands on that child? That was moved by the feelings. I'm not afraid of God's touch on my life. I don't care if it's fun, if it's not fun. If I'm in some way or form throwing a temper tantrum or a pouting session, I want God to either use his hand or his foot, whichever comes handiest, to boot me back into where I need to be, because reality. Amen. Amen. And he does that often. Anybody that thinks that God only speaks softly to you 24/7, then he's not talking to you. You're hearing yourself. Yesterday I was out in the hot tub and I was kind of thinking about, you know, how you feel sorry for yourself. I know none of you feel sorry for yourself. I'm the only one. So, and I was kind of, you know, and I was, it seemed like every time that I would open my mouth, before I could get my mouth the word out, God would answer it. And I wasn't too fond of the way he was answering, but it was true. And so after the second or third time, I quit trying because I was being outspoken. You know? But I'll give you one thing for instance. Every husband, such as Jesus, such as myself, would like to provide better for their bride. And so I began to say, I would like to provide for my bride better than I am. And before I could get that out, he said, don't you think I do? Now, come on, just let that soak in for a second. What do you think my plan is? What do you think my plan is? Now, I take that in many different ways, but I can promise you this. Husbands, heads of households, if you want better for your bride, become a better bride. And let your husband provide for you better so that you can provide better. That sound like something God would say? I didn't say get more bossy. I didn't say stomp your feet and yell, I'm the head. Because then somebody might think you're using the military term. God's plan for us is better than the wishes for ourselves.
Yes.
Now, come on. Y'all can just be free to wish just for a second. And then right after that, the biggest wish you can have, God's plan is bigger than that.
Yes.
God's plan, not His wish. His plan is greater than that. Yes. So all you have to do is close your pie hole and believe that God's plan is better than your wish. Right? Then smile, get back, and get quiet. And expect what? Expect to see God's plan. Don't let the world tell you about their plan. Don't let the radio or the television or whatever tell you what plan you have. Don't let a bill collector, don't let the government, don't let anybody tell you about their plan for your life. All you need to say is, God's got a better plan than you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Y'all ready to study the Word?
Yeah.
All right, stand with me as you're already turned there. I know that. You already know that you're in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. What I keep going over here is I want you to remember this scripture forever. I want you to remember this scripture forever. Two ways. One, is your heart right? And two, this is God's heart for you.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 21. Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?" Now that we've done the studying, let's say it right. "For I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me." That's what God would say to you. Come on, let's get honest. And there's times in our lives where we didn't give a flip about God. We have had some people treat us this way, so we can say this also. "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." That's the goal of God. That should be the goal of you.
Amen.
Not wealthy, to save people. That can, wealth can come with that, by the way.
Amen.
Verse 21. "Now, therefore, do not be afraid." Can everybody just say that out loud? Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
Now, if everybody had a mirror, I'd say, get your mirror out and look at that. Do not be afraid.
Amen.
God says, you need to learn to say, "I will provide for you and your little ones." And He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That's the way God does. He says, "I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to speak kindly to you. And I'm going to care for you." Now, how are you handling your enemies? That's why I want you to remember this scripture. You've never had the opportunity that Joseph had to pout. You've never had the opportunity to do what Joseph did, which is to minister. Maybe because you're not ready yet, but after this study, you're going to be ready.
Amen.
Say amen, because that means so be it. All right. All right, y'all may be seated. The title of the message today, other than God's Will is a Trip, the subtitle is The Great Release to Move from Joy Stealing, Remembering. Y'all get that down? It's not great English, but it gets the point. To move from joy stealing, remembering to getting it. How many anybody in here ever had anybody say, "Do you get it? Do you get it?" Okay, I'm going to read the title again. The Great Release, the move from joy, the move. That means you're at the wrong place. The move from joy stealing, remembering. Your memory brings you or steals your joy. Move to getting it. That's what we want today. We want to get it today, right? All right. Everybody in here, God has a plan for you. Say amen. The church, God has a plan for us. Amen.
Yes, amen.
All right. His plan comes with requirements. Now, everybody understands that in a job. You go apply for a job, you get it. The boss has a plan for you or you wouldn't have got it. Right? But not one time are you going to get a paycheck until you fulfill your obligations. You got it? Then that's the way it is with God, too. You get it? All right, let's go on. See if we can get it. Here's what's required. If you go get a job, you got to believe there's a boss.
Right.
And you got to believe he's got the last word.
Right.
And if you don't believe that, you're going to get fired.
Yep.
That's government. So to move in God's will, you have to have a full belief that you know it, it's God. And you know He has a will for you. Number two, you have to know that if it's God said it, it'll happen. If your boss looked at you and said, I'll tell you what, I've got a promotion for you. I want you to go over here and I want you to do this. You can believe that easier than to believe God. Most people can believe that easier than they believe God. And yet before the foundations of the earth, before you were even born, God had a plan for you. Why don't you believe it? Number three, if God put it in us, He'll carry it out. So if a boss looks at you and says, I'm going to have you doing thus and so, He's going to make it work out. He's going to provide the place. He's going to tell people you have the authority, and it's going to go. Right? Well, it's more so with God. Believe it. Four, if it is His plan, He'll make it happen. If your boss says, I'm going to make a new office for you and a new job position, He doesn't intend for you to go out and make it. He made it for you. All right? Believe that about God. Number five, all we have to do is believe and obey. I got to believe there's a boss, and He told me to do this. And He's going to pay. Is that so hard? You find it easy with a boss. How about with God? It's a bigger boss. All right. Here's what we've already covered. The plan for God to use Joseph did not begin with Joseph. It began long before that. Right? God put the right people, the right place, the right time to make the will happen. You didn't make it happen. You had nothing to do with it. B. There are specific preludes to our call in your lineage, in your experiences. There are specific preludes that are required before you can fulfill your call. Now, before you can be a good kid, you've got to get some whippings. You know that? Then how come you fight them? Before you can understand right or wrong, finances, those kind of things, you have to get in some kind of trouble, right? Then why do we Christians never want any trouble? I thought you wanted to learn. I thought you wanted to fulfill the job obligations. See, we're not born with everything we need to accomplish. We're not yet born with experience. And so far, nobody I've met makes experience pills. I haven't found my wife's turn-on button, and I haven't found experience pills. But God's about that. I keep feeling impressed this morning to tell you that you need to quit fighting what God's doing in your life, even if it's punishment, even if it's chastisement. It's that experience that you cannot buy that you need. That's what you need. See, do not assume that because we know it is God, it'll be easy. Did you ever go through any kind of punishment that was easy? Okay. But you're going to learn, and it's going to help you. D, all God needs is a willing heart to change the world. Not talent, not beauty, not effective speech. He just needs a willing heart, an innocent heart. E, there's always provision to keep God's will alive, no matter how much it looks like you're dying. That means there's always a Reuben. F, there's always a master's wife or a tempter to try to steal God's will and direction for your life. First, to try to kill it. When he can't do that, then he'll try to steal the direction. G, when you're out of control and in God's control or will, God will provide for you according to his riches and his power. But if it's up to your will and your power, then you're on your own will and power. And he's not going to have anything to do with it. Why? Because it's a lie. You've convinced yourself that you are good enough, strong enough, powerful enough to take care of it. That's a lie. There's no provisions in a lie. H, when we repent, the salvation process begins. Until we confess and repent, we will be plagued by our past deeds that always keep us in fear of the future. I, God's will is that all are to be saved. He wants to speak caringly to us, not threaten us. He wants to provide for us. All it takes is to confess and release the past. All it takes is to confess and release the past. Then move into Him. All right, let's start for today. Let me give you a short review. In Genesis, I believe it's 44, chapter 44, verse 2, it says this. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money. So he did according to the word of Joseph was spoken. Maybe I can do it faster by just saying there was a plan to get control of that young one by Joseph. I believe it was the plan of God. He said, set him up. Make it look like he stole this cup. In verse 4, he sent somebody to follow him, overtake him, and ask him why you've repaid good for evil. In verse 9, there's a commitment. With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be your Lord's, the Lord's slaves. This is a setup by God. You understand? You ever heard of the law of seed time and harvest? It's as sure as the sun coming up and going down, the Bible says. So what happens? We see. We see the person, the persons that decided to kill Joseph and then sell him into slavery. Kill him and sell him into slavery in that order. They decided not to kill because of Reuben, but sell him into slavery. Now are saying, let the one that's guilty die and we'll be your slaves. Let me tell you something. If you fear anything in your life, you better fear the law of seed time and harvest. Because when God says it's as sure as the sun coming up in the east and setting in the west, He's not going to change it for you. You're going to experience it. 16. I told that to somebody one time, by the way, and they said, well, I don't believe that. I didn't say it. You don't have to believe me. You have to believe the Word of God. And if you don't believe the Word of God, you're in trouble.
That's
right. In verse 16. Then Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of his servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, both we and he also with whom the cup was found. Now I want you, I didn't say this last week, but I want you to remember, just look at this. God has found out. How do you like that? You thought you had it covered. You thought there had been enough time go by, years and years and years and years, and there wasn't going to be repercussions. See, we believe finite to an infinite God. We think that if we just quiet about it long enough, it will go away. Not so, because you planted the seed. Seed never goes away. It'll bring forth a harvest. Verse 17, but he said, far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. I'm not going to kill him, but I'm taking him as a slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father. Verse 33, intercession. Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. This is what touched Joseph. This is what touches the heart of God. When you lay your life down for another, this is what touches the heart of God. When you blame somebody else, that touches the heart of the enemy. And you open yourself up to the enemy. Chapter 45, this is where the last three verses where we ended. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out for me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph, does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed or trembled or anxious in his presence. Verse 4, we begin again. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near him. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Why did he remind them that they sold him into Egypt? Because they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him to be Joseph. He was the only one that knew he was sold into Egypt. Nobody else knew that. Revelation, verse 5. But now do not therefore be grieved nor angry with yourself. Whoa. I can't say it to you plain enough. How many of you, when you had the upper hand such as this, would have said this? Do not therefore be grieved nor angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Man, if we could just get this revelation that nothing has ever happened to us that was out of the plan of God. Did Joseph have any control at all over being sold into slavery?
No.
God was in control.
Right.
See, when you have no control, then you know God's in control. Yeah. So quit trying to control. Quit trying to be in control. Just let it loose.
Amen.
God sent me before you to preserve life. Do you think that was a sweet sound to those people's ears? Do you think it was a God-moving sensation? To those people that sold somebody into slavery, you want to touch their hearts, say, don't worry about it. It was God's doing, it wasn't yours. You know how that makes you feel if you can say that? Makes you feel like you're in control already. Sure takes away the control of others. Verse 6, for these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. You notice Joseph didn't stay in emotional state very long. He quickly got back into business. When the tear comes, let the tear come, get over it, and get back to business. Don't hang around with people that like to be in tears all the time. It doesn't pay. Don't go to churches, to groups, to sessions where they want you to cry. It don't take but just one tear to wash dust away. It don't take a week's worth. God's got business. Let's go. Now look at this again, verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now I hope the reason we're studying this very intently is that God puts you in the same place where you're standing before your enemies and you've got to be God. You can't be you. You need to remember Joseph with it. It's like that. Those people could disappear and there would be no testimony against him. Nobody would listen. Verse 8, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. What does this do? In reality, what does this do? It makes sure Joseph is released from any anger. And it releases those people from guilt. Isn't that what Jesus did? With just a word. With just a word, Joseph was sure. Do you know when you're sure you're released from anger? When you can release somebody else from guilt. If you can't acknowledge that somebody else is forgiven, you're not forgiven. The world needs to hear that. It was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. Woo, he's getting bold now. Pharaoh doesn't have to acknowledge that. Joseph knows it. Don't wait for people to acknowledge you. You acknowledge God. But he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 9, hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. This whole time, Joseph had one intent, and that was to get to his father. Maybe we need to learn the same thing. 10, you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me. You and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. By the way, what if the brothers would have smarted off right about this time? See, Joseph's on a roll. He knows who he is. They better be quiet and know who they are. They're the ones walking in great grace and mercy right at the moment. Do you know how many times we remove our grace and mercy with our smart aleck mouth? We can't keep our traps shut. They had every right to say, you said you're Lord, Father over Pharaoh. Zap, you're out of it. Just like that. You're out of grace and mercy. Y'all are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. And I know better than that. I've been around you. You've been around me. We know when we smart our mouths off too much. Just be quiet. Sit there in the presence of authority and receive. You're going to dwell in the land of Goshen. They didn't say, we don't like the land of Goshen. We want to go back to where Canaan. Isn't that your mouth shooting off? Yes. They just were quiet. They were being told what to do, and they're not arguing with it. You're going to be near to me. Your flocks, your herds, your children's children, all that you have. They could have said, oh, you just want control. Come on. You know what's in your heart. God just exposed it again. They could have said, you just want total control over me. His response would be, you don't understand. I have control over you. I'm just telling you how it's going to be. I'm not asking you. It's exactly what God wants you to know. Yeah. He's not asking your opinion. He just wants an innocent heart to receive what he has to say. Yeah. Theocracy, not democracy. Right. Here's the response. I mean, here's the reason. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty like you already have. I'm going to change it. For there are still 5 years of famine. You're going to be here where I can provide for you. 12. And behold your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin. See that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen. And you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Their response was, amen. Okay, I'll say it another way. What the church does not want to understand is that orders many times come through a man.
Yes.
And your response still has to be amen.
Yes.
It's still God's will, even if he uses a man's mouth. In fact, that's a promise. He will use man's mouth. For all of you that think you've been up and God speaks to you only direct, you're full of it. You're absolutely full of it. And it's not God. I promise you, you must become as a little child to understand the things of the kingdom. A little child is to have no thoughts. They're to be told what they thought. Until they get to a point in maturity where they know in their own hearts they can stand before Joseph's brother and say, you're forgiven. God sent me in advance. The world needs to hear that too. Verse 14. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck after they didn't smart off, after they listened for a while, after their response was correct. Do you want to know when God's going to fall on your shoulders and weep? When your response is correct. Sometimes that's just total silence. All right, yes, sir. Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Now they get to talk. They don't have the right to talk up until now. Verse 16. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house. There were some goings on here. Saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. God already had that set up. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this. Load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. Pharaoh says, I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Joseph's faithfulness has affected Pharaoh. He's also promising to do what Joseph already told him was going to happen. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best. That's what God the Father says to you. Leave your land and come to mine. Stop serving yourself and serve me. Stop using your mouth and do what I tell you to do. I'll give you the best. Now you are commanded to do this. See, now Pharaoh says, now up until now it was a suggestion. I command you to do this. Look at me. If I said to you, I command you to do this, what's your feeling when I pointed my finger at you and said, I command you? That's right. That's our response. This was still a man, and he was still commanding. If they want the best, they have to receive the command. We are so afraid of men, we can't get God. I'm telling you, fear will block you from God. I don't care if it's fear of a man. If God put me here, did God put the brothers there?
Yes.
Then they should have no fear in receiving the command.
Amen.
Right. I don't like the thought. I just know it to be true. Now you're commanded to do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Verse 20, also do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Now the man says, I command you to go. Here's the food, here's the provisions. Go and leave your junk behind. Because what I got for you is better than what you got. Now, is this what God says? I make a little note here. Okay. Do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. And I wrote down here, this is God's will and plan for those that trade the remembrance of sin for forgiveness.
Amen.
See, your junk in the trunk, your garbage at home, Those things that you've carried all your life and didn't think you'd get rid of, God says you've got to get rid of them.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this. You can't even bring up what happened to you in former years if you've already given it up for the better things.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm looking at every one of you right now. Whatever's happened in your life, if you're still carrying it, that's what you're living with. Because God said, give it up, and you wouldn't do it. You felt like it was part of your history, and it's important. Yeah, it's important to your history. It's not important to your blessing.
That's right.
It's actually an enemy to your blessing.
Right.
If you got 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 hours, I can remember. I can remind you of all the bad things that have been done to me. Would you like to hear that?
No,
good. Because I don't want to bore you with it. Because I've left those things behind. Because my God says, come on over, I got better things.
Amen.
My study of Joseph reminds me that God put me here. Therefore, we forget that there is nothing but a here past.
Right.
Right? So when I can go back to one of those painful sessions, I need to be saying in the painful session, don't worry about it. God put me here.
Amen.
For you. Well, I didn't deserve what I got. Oh, please, would you shut your mouth? I'm trying to tell you about the blessing of God. You're trying to tell me about the curses you walk in. Which is more important to listen to? Leave those things behind. That's what Pharaoh said. Pharaoh was not even a minister of God. He was a puppet of God. He was a puppet because Joseph was serving God. That's why Joseph would say, I'm the father of Pharaoh. So I need to go back. In my mind, I need to go back to the most painful things, those things that I cannot get rid of. Whether it's my grandparents, my parents, somebody stole from me, a baby died, friend died, whatever. Go back there and make a point to leave it alone. Walk away. Say the things, God put me there, but God put me there so I could get to there. Where is there? The better there is when I no longer have that.
That's right.
To depend on. I got a comfortable couch. I can't leave that behind. Take it with you. You don't get another one. I got a memory. I can't leave that behind. We'll take it with you. Then you can't have new memories. Come on. How many different ways do I need to say this? Your past is not important. Don't bore me with it. Your past is not important. Don't kill yourself with it.
Amen.
The past can only be important when you say, God put me there. So he could get me here.
Amen.
I experienced that so that it would make me better here.
Amen.
When I start saying those things, then I can actually thank my enemy for being used by God.
Amen.
I have no enemies. I have things that are being used by God. Has Jesus already taken care of all of my enemies? Because he took care of his, right? Therefore, all I've got is experiences arranged by God. I don't owe anybody anything but love.
That's right.
If I can't get away from those bad memories, then I still owe. I still owe. I owe them retribution. I owe them get even. So I owe, it's off to work I go. Instead of being free, I'm free.
Amen.
I'm free. I can have lunch with any enemy that God arranges.
Amen.
Because I don't owe him retribution. I don't owe him get even. I can waste my life trying to get even, trying to remember. Or I can just get on with, this is my life.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord hath made.
Amen.
I think I choose to rejoice and be glad
yes.
in it.
Yes.
I don't choose to be drugged down by memories or fear of the future. Either way. Did you know that our experiences usually scare us about the future? Because we think it's going to repeat itself. Well, why will it repeat itself? Because I have seeded so much into that, I can't give it up.
That's right.
Harry, I'll pick you because I know what you got. What if God looked at you tomorrow and said, give it up, go somewhere else, and don't look back? And I also know that'd be the hardest thing. This man would have the hardest time dealing with that. You see, the people that have the most struggle the most giving it up. Be hard, wouldn't it? You got two reasons. One is your age. That always affects us. The older you are, the more you are settled, rooted, and grounded, which is the way God designed it. That's not an insult. But the more you have that's paid for, the more it has hold on you. Just remember that. Oh, you're teaching going to credit. Uh-uh. No, I'm not. Going to debt. No, sir. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you what you think you own may own you. And you may have to go through a trial or attempt to find out who owns who. Right? Okay. Just Joseph had to give everything up to go be what God wanted him to be. And the man that basically is responding to the will of God, which is Pharaoh, says, now you've got to give everything up to be what I want you to be. And I promise you in the Bible, you're going to find that over and over and over and over. But that's not the end of it. Pharaoh says, give it up because I've got the best here. Now, can we get comfortable with God enough to know that if I give it up here, I'll get better there? That has to be faith. Because Pharaoh didn't explain what that was. Amen? All right, here's our response. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh. And he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. Now, let's deal with a stumbling block right quick. Because now you're the brother, and you're not Benjamin. What's your response? Come on. Well, is he better than me? I don't know. You're asking me to make a judgment call, and I'm not the judge. Do I like it? No, if I was one of those brothers, I wouldn't like that. Does it make any difference? Not a bit. Not a bit. Nobody asked you what you liked. This is the way it is. When are we going to start facing life like that? If you truly trust God, then nobody's asking you what your problem is. It's just where you are right now. And I'm not taking that as defeat. I'm taking that as a promise that things are going to get better. But I think most of our problems is we can't get better until we realize it's good right now. We'd rather whine about where we are right now. I got a change of clothes. But he's got 5 changes of clothes. And he's got a lot of money. Well, that's not right. No, you're not right. You were just promised, here's the provisions. Make the trip, and when you come back, it's going to be a lot better than you imagine. And you're already complaining. I'll show you. He sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he went, he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Joseph knew, he already knew what they had done. He knew what got them in trouble, not what was torture to Joseph. He knew what got them in trouble. Do you understand what you do to people gets you in trouble or saves you? And how I handle it gets me in trouble or saves me? He knew their temptation is to get troubled on the way. Anybody in here fit that description? Anybody in here got a promise from God? How many of you got troubled in the way? Come on. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me. I already know the answer. Don't you know that I can practice divination? I speak like Joseph. See that you don't become troubled along the way. It was a long trip from Egypt to Canaan. It was a long trip to try to convince Daddy that this was all true. And it was a long trip back. There was famine in the land, right? You carried what you need or you didn't get it. And so all of these thoughts went through their head. What if I run out of money? What if I run out of grain? What if I run out of water? What if Dad doesn't believe us? What if somebody comes and robs us on the way? Now, I'm talking about the things that you've already heard today. In your spirit, you've already been threatened and you know it. On your way, the threat was real. On your way here, the threat was real. The Bible says, Bill quoted this morning, Don't you know, God would say, that I can finish what I started? If you start on my trip, I can provide. Come on, if you can't think of God as your father that loves you, then think of him as a good boss. At least go that far. One that carries your insurance for you, provides checks, his checks don't bounce. Come on, however far I can get you today, let me get you there. A little bit of trust. See that you do not become troubled along the way. That means you trust God for the trip. You don't worry about running out. Anybody in here on the way? I don't care what you think. You're on the way. See, the Bible even describes eternity as this. There is a wide road and a narrow road. What's a road for? Because you're on the way. There's a big gate and there's a little gate. That'd be trouble on the way, right? Many and few. Many are going down the wide way. Few are going to go down the narrow way. What's the narrow way? The one that doesn't look right to everybody else. The one that doesn't look correct to everyone else, including you. Come on, let's be real. Those practical thoughts that you have are your enemy. Because God is an impractical God. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob, their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. He was quick to believe about the death of Joseph. He was slow to believe about the resurrection of Joseph. Isn't that society today? Yes, quick to believe about the death of Jesus. Slow to believe about his resurrection. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. You know what your spirit's going to do if you'll ever stop believing about the past more and start believing in the future? Your spirit will revive. Those things that you thought were dead have become alive. You'll be revived. Nobody's going to have to look on for my turn-on button. It's pressed all the time. No comment. Then Israel said, it is enough. It's enough that Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. What was the first statement? It's enough. Well, all of the promises, all the donkeys, all the riches, all the stuff. Whoa, he gets excited about that. Because first he hears Joseph. He doesn't believe Joseph is alive. Then he looks out there and they explain to him, where do you think all this came from? And he gets excited about that and he says, whoa. No. It's just enough that Joseph is alive. Let me tell you something. Here's where we fail as Christians. Jesus is alive. And then we see all of this bounty, and we forget about Jesus being alive. And we don't remember that it's just enough that Jesus is alive. If we could ever get to this point, man, the church right now, every station, everything you turn on, is preaching wealth, is not preaching Jesus. They're saying that Jesus did this, so let's take it. Well, Joseph did this, let's just take it. No. They wouldn't have gone back to where they were supposed to if they'd have stopped there. God had a plan for them too. Not just Joseph. Had a plan for them too. And if they had been satisfied with the wealth that Egypt had sent, or Joseph had sent, then they wouldn't need to go back to Egypt or to Joseph. And yet Pharaoh commanded them. Well, what difference does that make if Pharaoh commanded? Pharaoh didn't own Canaan. They could have disobeyed and nobody had ever heard from them again. The donkeys would have replenished themselves. They'd have reproduced. Wealth would have been there. No. You and I are smarter than that. You and I are smarter than that. It's amazing. I can't use that term. It's amazing how rich we get with so little. Did you hear what I said? It's amazing how rich we get with so little. All we got to do is get one coin that will take us through next month and we are rich. We look for places to spend it. We get satisfied in the wealth instead of continuing on the trip. Chapter 46. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. Did y'all ever start eating and forget that you hadn't given a blessing yet? That's what they did. All of a sudden, the excitement, let's get on the trip. And they got started and said, oh, we didn't bless God. So we stopped and we blessed. Then God. When God? When you gave blessing to God. When you praised God for what was going on, even if it was a trip. Then God spoke to Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. Why did God have to say that to him? Because him thought the great nation was going to build where he was going to be built where he was. Is this the second time that he's heard the promise? This is not the first time he's heard the promise about I'll make a great nation of you. But just like us, we can't see past the end of our nose or hood ornament. We think that whenever God says something, he's going to do it right here, right now. And he never said, I'm going to do it right here, right now. He said, I'm going to do it. So what's our job? We have to trust that he's going to do it.
Amen.
He takes off before he gives thanks. Before he gives thanks for the blessing. When he finally remembers to give thanks, then God spoke. We need to catch that. We're going to hear from God while we're thanking God, and not while we're fussing at him. Do you know he's got a radio? He just reaches over and turns you off. Our all-powerful God does not have to listen. I just told you in the hot tub, I decided to complain, he decided to out-talk me. Do you think God can out-talk me? Well, think of the biggest, fastest talker that you can think of. I won't mention any names. And God can out-talk you. Think of the wisest person that you've ever met. I won't mention any names. God's wiser. Bud's not wiser. God's wiser. I don't care. I'll get it next week. Just more and more, I am convinced that the reason we don't hear from God so much is we just talk all the time.
Yep.
I will make of you a great nation there. Let me ask you something. Has he already got a good start on this?
Oh, yeah.
With who?
Joseph.
My goodness. Joseph already owns a country. But the father don't know this. Actually, the brothers are not thoroughly convinced. Only Joseph knows who he is. Joseph. Only Joseph knows who he is. They've had a little glimpse. They've seen a little bit of his power and his authority. But they don't have the slightest idea how powerful he really is. I wonder how many times we meet people like that. How many times do we walk into the presence of God with the same attitude? Because we've been so ignorant telling him what we want. We haven't been able to touch who he is. I guess I need to say that one again. Do I need to say that again? If I go into the restaurant to eat, I get to eat. If I go in there to tell them how to cook, I won't get to eat. That's the way it is with God. If I walk into his presence with thanksgiving, he gives me visions and voice.
Amen.
If I go in there telling him what I want and what I need and what I'm angry about, we get nothing. Why? Because he knows who he is. He knows how powerful he is. He knows the wealth that he has. He knows. Did you know that God knows how smart he is? It's us that don't know. We're too busy trying to confound him with our brilliance. My goodness. I think that God is reviving my spirit in this study of Joseph. I have forgotten. Can I just be honest with you? I've forgotten what power I walk in. Come on, I'm letting that hit you just for a second. I have forgotten the power that I walk in. When I can use the name of Jesus, I walk in total power and authority. I expect for mountains to move, and I expect for things to change. I expect that when I walk into a place, I own the place. You're not connected. Gene, you're not connected. You look at me like I'm a goose. I'm telling you, you need to know what power you walk in. You need to know that you own the place. Because God ordered your steps, and he was there before you.
Amen.
He's already taken care of it.
Right.
I was reminded again, left the service here on Sunday, not last Sunday, but a few Sundays ago. And for those of you that went with us when we went to see that band, went up that Sunday, the following day, I think it was, or the 2 days later, whatever. And that man came off the stage and came straight to me. You remember that? Now, how many times has that ever happened when we've been there? That's right. That's how many. Never. Came straight to me. Glad to see you here. And I took over the conversation. Did I not take over the conversation? And I ministered to that man while he's standing there in his bar. Bar 8042. Because it's at 8,042 feet. And I even correct him in one of his statements. And when he goes away, he said, I got to go. I got to take care of my duties so I can get back up there. He was there so long, he had time to go to the restroom before the next set. God reminded me. You own the place. You own the place. By my Spirit, you own the place.
Praise God.
Yeah. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. I did.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you some charge over it. In Genesis, the Bible says, I give you the order to tend the garden.
Yeah.
That means I'm in charge of the garden. Joseph said, I'm the father of Pharaoh. Well, that man's got gall. He's saying, I'm owning the place. I even own Pharaoh and he don't know it. Oh, no. He's seen into the presence of God because he trusted the will of God. Y'all trust the will of God?
Yeah.
Trust him enough to know that you no longer have any fear or worry about the future? Trust him enough to know that when you walk into a place, you own that place? That what I say goes? By the way, men, that's got to begin in the house. If you're not even man enough to take control of your own house, how are you ever going to take control of the kingdom of God? There's one kerplunk of that stone. God is looking for a few good households.
Amen.
Why? Because he's looking to give you the best. You haven't got the best. Oh, I got the best wife. No, you don't. No, you don't. You haven't led her into the best yet. You can have a better wife. You can have a better husband. But you got to leave who you are and what you are and go somewhere else.
Amen.
This whole thing is leading up to something in your lives. And that's it. You need to forget where you live, who you are, who you think you are, because God's going to move you from that. If nothing but in the Spirit, God's going to move you. God's going to move you. We go back to the statement of going from the dungeon, that's where Joseph was, to dinner at Pharaoh's table, 24 hours. 24 hours. 24 hours. You think it's impossible because you're watching the clock. If you stop watching the clock, you might find out that it could happen tomorrow. In fact, I might be expecting that it happens tomorrow. Let me see if I've got something in here. This is the birthday card that my wife gave me. Now, I'm going to embarrass the hound out of her. But we all have to take up our cross. I want you to read this. I want you to listen to him read this because I can't read it. Because I can hear what I need to be saying to God. I need to hear what is in my heart for God and my expectations and my future.
My husband, my friend, my love. No one else could ever be all those things you are to me or fill my days, my life, my world so very lovingly. No one else could be for me the special perfect blend of a man who's strong but also the most gentle, caring friend. No one else could understand and know me like you do. No one else could be my love. No one else but you.
That's her writing.
I am so blessed and thankful to God that I have you. You are my life, and no one else could ever be to me all that you are to me.
Now, do I have that good heart towards God, towards Jesus? I have the promise. when God spoke to me in the hot tub with that little short response, how do you think I want to provide for you? How do you think I want my bride treated? When I already have the promise that says, leave what you have, and I'll give you the best of the land. Understand that we're just studying Joseph, a man that God has put into a position. Can we just drop our eyes from Joseph for a minute and see the heart of God in this thing? See, we have related so much to Joseph with our problems and our situations that we forgot to give thanks on our trip. We took off on the trip because we looked for the promises and we saw the promises and they're great. And we forgot to stop and build the altar and say, you're beautiful. God, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. We forgot to say, how can I serve you? We forgot to say, there's none like you. We forgot to say, you are my life. Praise you, Father. I have a husband. I need to make sure that I express myself in such a beautiful manner to my husband, or I'm never going to learn to enjoy those beautiful things that come from a beautiful husband. I need to stop looking at the trip and just give God thanks for the journey that I know is leading me into the best of the land. I'm not taking this journey so that I can get wealthy. I'm taking this journey because I'm already wealthy. Hallelujah. I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go on this journey. For I'm going to make you a great nation there. I'm going to make you a great nation there. God says to everybody in here, I'm going to make you a great nation there. What does that mean? Take the journey and find out. Get moving. You're going to hear my words and you're going to feel my confidence when you stop and you thank me for the journey and you say, you're beautiful. You're wonderful. As I sing and as I give him praise and as I worship him, he becomes the light on my path. That means my trip is a journey, but it's joyful journey. I'm no longer looking back about the things that have happened to me, considering those things. I've left them. I've traded them in for newer things. And the newer things occur on the journey. Praise you, Lord. Y'all stand with me for a minute. Here's what I say to my wife. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man because of you. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't always feel like saying that. I didn't ask you what you felt like. Is this part of my journey? Is this the gift that God has given me? Thank you, God. You're beautiful. And the more beautiful he becomes, the more beautiful she becomes. Now, I don't care about, I mean, yes, I do. But this isn't about honoring Connie. This is about what my husband says to me when I say the right things. Do you understand that I'm a gift of God to Jesus? I'm a gift from God to Jesus. Your scripture tells you that. And my husband would say, I am extremely blessed. Listen. Listen to the voice of God right quick. Do you want Jesus to say to you, I am extremely blessed because of you? Then all we have to do, this is something that the world does not want to understand. All I have to do is totally yield to my husband. I have to totally yield to my husband. I've been accused so many times of not treating women correctly. And I've said to you over and over, until I become the bride of Christ, I will never be a husband to my wife. It's been the foundation of everything that I've ever done to her and for her, is because it's part of pleasing God. Has it got anything to do with my ego? All of you know me to be so beautiful, she'd say that naturally, right? No. That's not right. She said that to me. What she said in this card, she said because I am seeking God with all my heart. Now, do you want the world to say that about you? Do you want somebody to write you love letters? Do you want them to respect you, acknowledge that respect? Then fall in love with Jesus again. Pray to God to be that you to be that spouse to Jesus that you need to be. Have the world say to you, leave your past behind, come, I have better things for you. Do you understand the world? Pharaoh represents the world. And he was forced to say that to Joseph and to his family. The world said to them, leave that behind and I'll give you the best that I have. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he? Has everybody here given their hearts to God? I feel like I haven't given my heart to God enough. And I'm going to say openly and publicly, I once again give my heart to you, Ron. I take Jesus as my husband. I'm anxious and I'm excited about the journey that you've placed me on. And I have no fear or doubt about tomorrow. I own tomorrow because I'm married to Jesus. He's given us to God. He's given himself and he's given me as the bride to God. And I can sing, you're beautiful. Hallelujah. You're wonderful. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Need to pray with anybody this morning about anything. Spirit has caused me to understand joy and peace and contentment. I have one need in life, and that to be with the gift that God gave me and take that gift and drag us in the presence of God. And that I know that when I'm honoring that gift and that gift is honoring me, we need no other. I don't need a party. I don't need a group. That I am more. There's no words to describe the joy that I have being with the gift that God has given me. Now listen to me. That's the way Jesus feels. If he were here, he would like to describe to you the joy that he has with you when you come in proper attire, with a proper heart. That he needs no one else but you. I can't explain that. I just know that's the way it is. That Jesus would walk up to anyone that's giving God the Father honor and say, "You're the gift that God has given me. I'm totally satisfied. I'm totally satisfied. Totally satisfied. You don't have to perform. You don't have to watch anything but me. I'll sit and I'll fellowship with you 24/7 because you give me such great pleasure. Because you give me such great pleasure." How many of you know that you give Jesus great pleasure? If you don't know that, you need to understand. You need to come into his presence. You need to forgive yourself as he's forgiven you. See, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for me. But if you can get a hold of this message this morning, you're going to be set free. You're going to be set free from the past. Then you're going to be set free into the future with him as your husband. Leading you on this path, and every step, the world being made to say to you, "I'll give you the best. I'll give you the best. I'll give you the best." See, I don't have to buy you the best. I don't have to do that. God has commanded the world to give you the best. You got the best husband. That's what you said. I didn't say it. You said it. You got the best children. I don't care what anything says. You got the best children. You got the best grandchildren. You got the best home. You got the best car. Because it's a command of God. Not because you've worked so hard to get it. Right? Tanya, just say amen. Not because you earned it. Because God desires it. Praise you, Lord. All hearts clear. You don't need any prayer. You know what? I got to tell you this. I envy you. I envy you. I wish I'd had a church like this when I was young. I wish I had somebody that would teach me these things. I wish it would have happened a long time ago. I wish I didn't have so much unlearning to go through. Now, I'm thankful for this moment because it's only going to lead to better things, but I envy you. I envy you. I desire for this church to teach others what's being taught right now. I desire for it to be a wildfire that just takes over things. I don't know how God can do that, but he can take us from a dungeon to the table of the Pharaoh in 24 hours. That's all I know. The table of the Pharaoh is not an honored place. Pharaoh needs to be honored that we're there. Because now he has to provide for us. God's commanded. Amen. No more worries. No more fears. Yeah, but they told me. I don't care what they said. Yeah, but you don't know what I know. That's right. Just know what I know and you'll be okay. Know what I've taught you this morning and you'll be okay. God, we thank you for this teaching. I thank you that I'm touched every time I open your book, but I especially thank you for this walk through the study of Joseph. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. one aspect of the message that I did not touch, and that's this. That is this. He said, doesn't make any difference what he said. Let me tell you what God says to him in response to what you just said. You don't want for you near what I want for you. You think you have desires? You need to walk into my presence. This is not a sideshow. God's not a carny. He doesn't tempt you with things. This is not a department store. He doesn't show you things you can't afford. He shows you things that he wants to give you. So if there's a desire in your heart, Chuck, if there's a desire in anybody's heart in this service today for more and better things, it's because God has shown you what he wants for you. Not you're showing anybody else what you want. Now, that's my response to you, Chuck. God wants more for you than you want for you and yours. But let me say something else. I'm going to say to you and your household that you haven't quite given everything up to God yet. Because it's a scary thing. And I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not asking you to physically accomplish anything. I'm asking you and saying to you, spiritually, God would say, you haven't quite given me all of it yet. There's a fight in both of you. You may not even know that. There's a fight in you. We all know that about Tanya. That's okay. This is a trip. God's in control. God is in control. We're not down on anybody. If God's in control, he's in control. Some of your fights have been for Tanya. Some of it's been against Tanya. Some of it's been with Tanya. None of it needs to be about Tanya. The only thing you need to do is take that desire that you have for your household, which is better, 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 and go to God. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. Chuck, you need some time alone with God. I didn't say a sabbatical. I didn't say never go to work again. I didn't say those things. Because time alone with God can be in the middle of the night. It can be in the middle of the work. It can be anything. But you need to stop. Do what Jacob did and stop. I forgot to talk to God. I forgot to give him thanks. Offer him up some thanks and watch him whisper into your ear. Time for me many times is in the hot tub. Because in the hot tub you don't feel like talking to anybody. You're sweating your head off. And so you get quiet. You shut your eyes because you don't want the sweat running down in your eyes. Because that burns. So now you can't see anything going on around you. And God has the ability to minister. If he wakes me up in the night, I've learned now, it's not because of fear. I'm not worried about anything. So what I do is open my ears to God and listen to him minister to me. I don't have to do any talking. I just learned. I don't have to do talking. He wanted to visit with me. Women, brides of Christ. That includes everybody in here now. Don't try to get your husband to talk to you. If he wants to talk to you, he will. Rest. Otherwise, you just know that he loves you and he's caring for you. You know it. Hallelujah. Father, I ask that you give this house some peace like they've never had before. Now, if you got to start a fire, that's fine. The goal on the trip is peace that passes all understanding. And I ask you, Father, to reveal once again, afresh and anew, in Chuck and Tanya, what real life is and what life is real. Remove from them because of an honest heart, because of a hungry and thirsty heart. Remove from them the burdens, the entanglements of debt and worry. Remove from them. Don't let them believe they deserve this. That's a lie from hell. Give them the peace that they don't owe, the world owes. And that they're going to receive with thanksgiving blessings from God. And all can be removed and changed in a short period of time if they'll just turn their eyes upon you. Sing to you in the midst of pain. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. Let that be a prayer for the entire church, Lord. Starting here. Then we want to get to the point where we owe no man anything but love. And that is the greatest debt we've ever taken on. It's the love of Christ Jesus for the world. And we've taken on that debt. We will pick up that ministry. We will pick up that burden. We will go on this trip knowing that the whole goal is the will of the Father, which is everyone be saved. We're not taking on the weight of salvation. We're taking on the ministry, the spreading of the word of salvation, of healing. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Be changed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Or is that a good enough prayer for everybody? Praise your Lord. You don't even know what you need, do you? Yes, I know what I've got. See, it's good when you don't know. It's good when you don't know. What I mean by if you don't know is you don't know how to get out. Most of us think that, I know I need help, we know that. But if we wrote down the salvation path, it wouldn't be there. We wouldn't have the answer. That's what I meant by that. I knew you were going to be here. It was just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. I've been excited about the time. Have I described Jesus good enough to you? You want to join the organization? I am thankful that you're innocent. You ever had anybody call you innocent before? Okay. I knew that too. None of us have been. But I've told you the answer already. That's forget about tomorrow and accept that new path. You've been subjected to this already. You've been told you sign up here and the future looks bright. It doesn't even hold a candle. I'm going to say the same thing to you. Sign up here and the future's bright. That's the truth. Not putting down one, just offering a better one. Am I right, Bill? Now we're going to pray and agree. Because there's connotations of being saved and all this that we don't even understand. Christians don't even understand it. And so all we want is God's will, right? You trust Him enough to just turn it over? Really? No matter what. Because that's what salvation is. No matter what. All right, Father. We're not asking for anything that you already haven't prearranged. We're just receiving it now. I remind this daughter of God, that before she was born, and before her parents were born, before anything that she's ever walked through has ever happened, you knew. And you loved her so much, you planned her trip to this point. she can just accept that. She's gone 1,000 miles in the right direction. To this point, to this time right now. And I believe, and I have believed ever since the day I met her, that beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is an innocent daughter of God. That she is now forgiven by the blood of Jesus, by the sacrifice that you paid, Father, Son, and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit right now. We accept your will of salvation, of forgiveness, of forgetting the past, of deliverance, of prosperity and health. That's the future. God, we're not good at this, but you are. I ask you by your Holy Spirit right now to touch her, to change her, to forgive her, and that her testimony be one of the most powerful testimonies that we've ever heard, and that it touches more people than she ever intended to touch. In Jesus' name. The past is wiped away. The past is wiped away. It's cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You're now pure. You're now holy. You're now born again. Fresh and new. Fresh and new. The world smells better. She sees things better. She hears things better. She rests at night, not worrying about the past because it's gone. Not worried about the future because you are now her future. In Jesus' name. No matter what, she's a better parent. She's a better worker. She's better in everything that she says and does. She turns her back on sin now in Jesus' name and takes a better path. Takes a better path. It was not profitable to her. It never was good to her. Now she's going a different direction. Righteous, holy, reads her Bible, prays to you in the way that you put on her to do. Not in some way that she thinks is right, but just fellowships with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you accept that as the truth? Do you really? Is that, you have to accept it. All right. Then you are changed. I'll see you in heaven one day. All right. I'll see you before then, but I'll see you in heaven one day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give him a hand. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. By the way, if you ever need anything, just call. People that know me know that you may not get the answer you want, but I guarantee you an answer. Praise the Lord. I'd rather just call on God. I really believe if we get innocent enough to call on God, He'll give us the answer. Hallelujah. It's hot up here. Hallelujah. No wonder the firemen came. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear. I enjoy being right here right now. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Go ahead. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know what God's plan for her. I don't know what it is, but it's good. Presence of God good. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. I thank you for this message. I thank you that hearts have been changed here today by you. That by your Spirit we've been given a breath of fresh air and a new direction. I thank you that by the Spirit faith has been built. That our view has been raised. That our confidence in our salvation is greater than ever before. And I thank you that the world does not rest on my shoulders. Only this trip that I'm on does. And then it's up to you to provide for the trip, to provide for the obedience that you've asked me to give. Can anybody reject Jesus? How can anybody turn their back on God when He's so beautiful, when He's so wonderful, when He's the Counselor and the Prince of Peace, when He's the Mighty God? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask one more time, are all hearts clear?
This joke, and you say, well, it's not a time for a joke, but listen to it. This guy was praying. He says, God, he says, help me to win the lottery. Lord, I want to win the lottery. Lord, please help me win the lottery. I could do so much with the lottery money. Please, Lord, help me win the lottery. And God says, you know, meet me halfway. At least buy a ticket. You know, there's many of you right here today. Everybody bow your heads this morning. Close your eyes. Everybody. Nobody looking around. There's many of you here this morning. You need to go ahead and buy this ticket, not to win the lottery, but you need to buy this ticket for this trip. You know, we're a small congregation, and we know what everybody's cologne smells like and what everybody's perfume smells like. But you know what? This morning, there's still one more person here. There's still one more person with every head bowed and every eye closed. And God's going to see this hand raise up. If you say to God this morning, I want to buy that ticket for that trip. I want my bags. I'm going to pack my bags. Because I'm going on that journey. God will see your hand. Just raise your hand this morning. Raise your hand this morning and say, God, I want to purchase that ticket for that journey with you. Raise your hand. And God sees those hands. God sees those hands. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, that those that raise their hands, Lord, you see their heart. You see their desires. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to them and let them know that they do have their ticket punched. And that they are on that trip. They are going on that trip with you. Their bags are packed. They're ready to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember whenever my mom got saved. Someone asked her, she said, are you ready to go? And this is whenever she was sick and she knew that she was going to go be with the Lord soon. She says, are you ready to go? She says, my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. never know where God's going to take you. But let me tell you the rest of that story. Her parents hated me. They wouldn't have received anything from me. Her mother had had a couple of falling spells, and she went in the hospital, and they pronounced her to have a brain tumor, and she wouldn't have long to live. We got that call. Connie got the call. She came to me, and she said, "What do I do?" Because they didn't have anything to do with her. They wouldn't talk to her because she was married to me. I remember laying my hands on her and saying, "Go in my name." She didn't have to be explained what that meant. She went. And that day, the whole family was in that room. And that day, she prayed and they all got saved. Now, if that will work with two physical people, if Jesus says, "Go in my name," how much more will that work? How much more will that work? My spirit's revived, Terry. It's revived. I think I thank God that everybody in here, their spirit's revived. This is not a game. This is not male chauvinism. This is me, the bride of Christ, speaking about the groom. I don't expect the groom to take advantage of me. Therefore, I will never take advantage of my bride. My Jesus will never fool around on me. Therefore, I will never fool around on my bride. My Jesus will never make promises to me that he'll break. Therefore, I'll not break my promises to her. Amen. That's how it really works. Yes. Amen? Amen? I don't ever intend to be mistreated by my groom. Therefore, I will never mistreat. I did not marry a soft groom. Therefore, I will never be soft. Come on, it's just like a little child understands. Got to be that way. I'm going to say again, without any other things that need to be done, in Jesus' name, you're healed. You're saved. You're safe. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid. Now let me read to you, say to you, speak to you with all my heart, the priestly blessing. May the Lord and God that I know bless and protect you. Bless and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. Now, can you see his face radiating because of you? May he be gracious to you, show you his favor, and most important of all, give you his peace. If you agree with that, say, "I receive it." In Jesus' name, it is finished. Y'all be dismissed and don't keep it to yourself. Tell others.